Mrs. Figa, I rise in support of the budget presented to this Honorable House by the Prime Minister and Minister for Finance of this country. Once again, Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister and Minister for Finance has presented to this Honorable House a budget that is unanswerable by the opposition.
And that's right.
So the members on the other side of this House embarked on various excursions in deception and delusion.
All right.
The Honorable Member from Meeku North was eloquent but empty, articulate but inadequate, speaking of things about which he had no conviction, suggesting, for instance, that the benefit of economic growth in the country has been confined to a few people, while himself knowing this to be untrue. The member for Castries Central, Mr. Speaker, took a journey into audit reports on the operations of government and selectively quoted information from the reports that was neither connected to the budget nor connecting to any logical conclusion. The member for Castries Central, Mr. Speaker, raised the noise level in the House, but lowered the level of debate in this House. The Honourable Member for Meeku South, Mr. Speaker, appeared uneasy with his prepared text, from which he seemed rather disconnected and discomforted. The Honourable Leader of the Opposition, for his part, was all over the place, but yet nowhere. But maybe, Mr. Speaker, the fault is not theirs, but that of the Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, who has presented an unchallengeable budget that both grows the economy and advances the social agenda of this country. Congratulations, Mr. Prime Minister, on yet another masterpiece. And allow me to move right into my ministry and my constituency. Mr. Speaker, in addressing my launching rally on the Grosvenor playing field on Sunday, August 11th, 1996, I offered to give the next 10 years of my life in service to my constituency and my country. In the general elections which followed in May of 1997, my offer of service was formally accepted and I was elected as the parliamentary representative of Grosvenor and appointed as the Minister for Education, Human Resource Development, Youth and Sport. In December 2001, after serving for about half of the promised period, my contract of service as Parliamentary Representative of Grosvenor and Minister for Education, Human Resource Development, Youth and Sport was renewed, though apparently with some hesitation, both by the persons entitled to elect the parliamentary representative and by the person entitled to appoint the minister. The apparent hesitation notwithstanding, Mr. Speaker, and about which I have no hard feelings whatsoever, I continued as I had promised on that Sunday back in August 1996 to give up my best in service to my constituency and my country. As I wind down my promised period of service, Mr. Speaker, I want to take the opportunity of the debate on the 2006 to 2007 budget to give an account to this Honorable House of my service in both the constituency of Groseley and the Ministry of Education, Human Resource Development, Youth and Sport. Unfortunately though, the rules of the House and the constraints of time will not allow me to chronicle all of the achievements in the constituency or the ministry in the period of service. But I will certainly speak to the work done in the constituency and the ministry in the 2005 to 2006 financial year, and to the work to be done in the 2006 to 2007 financial year. I will seek, Mr. Speaker, to contextualize this within the framework of my overall period of service in the constituency and the country. Starting first with the work done in the Ministry of Education, Human Resource Development, Youth and Sport, I want to report that the 2005 to 2006 financial year was another very busy period for the ministry, during the course of which we witnessed improvements in the performance of our students at every level of the education system, more solutions accessing higher education opportunities overseas, and further advances being made in the improvement of our sporting infrastructure and in the performances of our sportsmen and sportswomen. In the primary education sector, the following works were undertaken in the 2005 to 2006 financial year. 1. A condition survey of all primary schools was undertaken to determine the state of repair or disrepair of primary schools in St. Lucia, with a view to carrying out required repairs and to designing a maintenance schedule for our schools. 2. A major extension was undertaken at the Fort Saint-Jacques Primary School in Souffre, involving the construction of an upper floor to an existing building to house 5 classrooms and a principal's office. This work has already been completed, and together with some consequential work to be done on the ground floor of the building, will cost a total of $1,087,000. Other works costing $380,706 are being undertaken at the Fort Saint-Jacques Primary School, involving the construction of a new toilet block and the fencing, drainage and surfacing of the entire school ground, while another $600,000 contract has been awarded by the Basic Needs Trust Fund to further extend the school and to establish a computer lab, a library, a staff room, a home economics room, a kitchen and an eating facility. This expenditure totaling over $2 million, Mr. Speaker, was necessary in order to bring an end to the years of discomfort and inconvenience experienced by the people of Fort Saint-Jacques, occasioned by the fact of having an infant school and a primary school located a considerable distance from each other, with children having to go to one school from age 5 to age 8, and then to the other some distance away from age 8 onwards. Just as we've done in so many other respects in the education system of this country in the last 9 years, when the education of our children appeared to be compromised, we have brought an end to this situation, Mr. Speaker, so that as of next term, all the children in Fort Saint-Jacques from age 5 to about age 12 will attend the same school, until it is time for them to go to the Supra Comprehensive Secondary School or to some other secondary school in Kabluja. 3, major repairs, rehabilitation, and renovation work have been and are being undertaken at the Tiroche Primary School, located on the border of the constituencies of Castries East and Castries Southeast. The sum of $423,333 is being expended on the extension of the school, the construction of new toilet facilities, and the establishment of a new canteen and staff room. $363,352 is being extended on the construction of an upper floor to an existing school building. $366,621 is being expended on the realignment of the ground floor of the same building, while a further sum of $79,000 is being expended on the construction of a retaining wall and other related amenities. A total of $1,232,306 is being expended on the repair, rehabilitation and renovation of the Tiroche Primary School, which has cried out for attention for a while now. And allow me, Mr. Speaker, to take this opportunity to thank the principal and staff of the Tiroche Primary School for their patience and forbearance, and to thank as well the parents and children of the Tiroche community for keeping faith with the school, notwithstanding its difficulties. I hope that the Tiroche Primary School will now develop to its full potential, which I know will greatly please the Honourable Member for Castries South East, who has remained very close to the school, which is physically located on the Castries East side of the border between the two constituencies, but with the majority of the children at the school coming from Castries South East. 4, of more immediate concern to the Honourable Member for Castries East, is the situation at the Marshall Combined School. The sum of $420,632 is being expended on the repair, rehabilitation and renovation of the new Marshall Combined School building. $288,952 is being expended on the erection of gradient baskets between the school and the Marshall River to prevent erosion of the bank of the river affecting the school compound. A further $40,000 is being expended on the rehabilitation of the toilet block of the school. By the time the work on the Marshall Combined School is completed in the summer of this year, some $749,584 would have been expended on the repair, rehabilitation and renovation of the school, following some expenditure of $44,772 undertaken in 2001 to build a school feeding facility at Marshall Combined, and a further $48,896 spent in 2004 to build a resource room on top of the school feeding facility. 5, the Basic Needs Trust Fund is also expending the sum of $433,133 on the repair, rehabilitation and renovation of the Anglican Infant and Primary School. The work being done there includes repairs to roofs and ceilings, replacement of windows and doors, replacing defective toilet facilities, and doing painting and other general repairs there. 6, major repair, rehabilitation and renovation work are underway at present at the Lakwamengo Combined School in the constituency of Castries South. A total of $401,535 is being expended on repairing the school ceiling and flooring, replacing defective doors, undertaking drainage work and fencing of the school's compound. 7, Major repair, rehabilitation, and renovation works are being undertaken at the De Resort Combined School in the constituency of Miku South. The work being done there in Miku South, Mr. Speaker, includes the rehabilitation of the roofs of the northern and southern blocks of the school, rehabilitation of the school's toilet block, and general repairs to doors and windows. A total of $372,576 is being expended at the De Resort Combined School. 8. Major rehabilitation works were done at the Bamano Primary School, where the sum of $291,402 was expended on re-roofing, floor replacement, and the installation of windows at the school. This was funded, Mr. Speaker, from the World Bank Disaster Management Project. 9. Major works are being undertaken at the Utsa Primary School in the constituency of Castries Southeast, including general repairs and the demolition of an existing building of the school, which building has been deemed unsafe. A total of $250,890 is being expended on the Utsa Primary School. 10. Major works are also being undertaken at the Palata Combined School in the constituency of Babano. $214,823 is being expended on the rehabilitation and repair of the school, particularly on the roof and railings of the school. 11. $203,341 has been expended on the Beaufort Primary School in the constituency of Beaufort South, undertaking repair and renovation work to floors, walls, roof, and electrical installations at the school. 12. $76,000 was expended on the undertaking of general repairs at the Special Education Center in Beaufort South. 13. The sum of $200,000 has been expended on the Bellevue Combined School in Beaufort North, undertaking repairs and renovation work to floors, walls, roofs, and electrical installations at the school. 14. Also in Beaufort North, the sum of $71,000 has been expended on an upper floor extension of the Grace Combined School. 15. The Monrepo Combined School in Miku North also received attention in the last financial year, with a sum of $61,000 being expended on the placement of a new floor and veranda in one of the school buildings and the construction of a retaining wall on the school compound. 16. The Rosa Primary School in the Ancillary Canaries constituency will be undergoing general repairs to the tune of $85,000 under a contract which was awarded last month. 17. The Canaries Primary School, also in the Ancillary Canaries constituency, will be undergoing general repairs to the tune of $45,000 under a contract also awarded last month. 18. The sum of $34,000 was spent on general repairs of the Special Education Center at Sufre. And 19, Mr. Speaker, in addition to those amounts which I've specifically enumerated, another $854,000 was expended in the last financial year on routine maintenance and minor repair work at other primary schools throughout St. Lucia. In the secondary education sector, Mr. Speaker, the following work was undertaken in the 2005 to 2006 financial year. Firstly, work was commenced and is ongoing on the construction of the Groseley Secondary School in Mafat, Groseley. The school, which is being built to accommodate 700 students, will contain 20 classrooms, 2 science labs, 1 computer lab, an auditorium, a learning resource center, and specialized rooms for building technology, technical drawing, clothing and textiles, and food and nutrition. The school is being built at a cost of 10,208,862. Secondly, work has also commenced and is ongoing on the construction of the new secondary school at Marigold, which is also being built to accommodate 700 students, and which will also contain 20 classrooms, 2 science labs, a computer lab, an auditorium, a learning resource center, and specialized rooms for technical drawing, clothing and textiles, and food and nutrition. But unlike the Groveley Secondary School, it will not have a specialized room for building technology, but will instead have a specialized room for agriculture. The school is being built at a cost of $10.6 million. Thirdly, work was commenced and is ongoing on the expansion and rehabilitation of the Garvey Senior Primary School in Denry North, so as to transform it into a secondary school as of September this year. A new 3-story concrete building is being constructed on the school site. An existing building has been expanded and upgraded to make room for specialists, to make provision for specialist rooms. An existing toilet block is being upgraded, and a wooden building on the compound will be refurbished, and the school site will be landscaped. The new secondary school at Gloryvale will accommodate 700 students and will contain 20 classrooms, 2 science labs, 1 computer lab, a learning resource center, and specialized rooms for technical drawing, clothing and textiles, food and nutrition, agriculture, and auto mechanics. The extension is being undertaken at a cost of $3,047,064, but with an upward variation expected in this amount because of additional work requested and undertaken subsequent to the issue of the contract. Fourthly, work was commenced and is almost complete on the expansion and refurbishment of the Chazelle Secondary School. A new building was constructed on the compound of the school, an existing building was expanded, and the entire school compound was given a facelift. The extension and refurbishment of the Chazelle Secondary School is being undertaken at a cost of $1.6 million and will result in the school being expanded from its present capacity of 525 students to a 4-stream, 5-form secondary school accommodating 700 students. Fifthly, work was commenced and is almost complete on the expansion and refurbishment of the Clendon Mason Memorial Secondary School in Denry South. A third floor containing 6 classrooms has been added to an existing building of the school, and all existing rooms in the school have been refurbished and reorganized, including science labs, a learning resource center, and the staff room. The extension and refurbishment of the Clendon Mason Memorial School is being undertaken at a cost of $1.1 million and will result in the school being expanded from its present capacity of 550 students to a 4-stream, 5-form secondary school accommodating 700 students. Sixthly, work has commenced and is ongoing on the upgrading and refurbishment of the Big Butte Secondary School in Castries North, which involves the construction of a new science lab at the school and giving the school a general facelift. The upgrade and refurbishment of the Big Butte Secondary School is being undertaken at a cost of $470,000, but will not result in any expansion of the school's physical capacity. Seventh, work was commenced and is now complete on the refurbishment of the Miku Secondary School, which involved the cleaning, welding, and painting of selected items of steel frame and making good the defect on all metal panels. The refurbishment of the Miku Secondary School was undertaken at a cost of $200,000, while a further $28,000 was expended on general repairs of the school in the course of the last financial year. Eighthly, work was undertaken on the upgrade and refurbishment of the Antipo Secondary School in Castries East, which involved the establishment of a learning resource center there and a general facelift of the school. The upgrade and refurbishment work at Antipo Secondary were undertaken at a cost of $141,000. General repairs costing $141,000 were also undertaken at the Viewport Comprehensive School Campus B, while $65,000 was expended on general repairs at Campus A. Tenthly, Mr. Speaker, in addition to the amount specifically enumerated, another $228,000 was expended in the last financial year on routine maintenance and minor repair work at other secondary schools throughout St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, apart from constructing, expanding, rehabilitating, and repairing secondary schools to improve access, we also implemented the textbook rental program for secondary school students in the course of the last financial year. The program was introduced in September last at a cost of some $1.5 million, which was used to purchase sets of textbooks for forms 1, 2, and 3 of our secondary schools. These textbooks were rented to needy students at a cost of $175 per year, but with the needier students being exempted from the payment of any rental fee. I'm not sure, Mr. Speaker, whether I should be disappointed that the program was not very heavily utilized in 2005, or to take it as an indication that parents really did not require the assistance of a textbook rental program in order to equip their children with the required textbook for secondary school. Be that as it may, the program will continue in the next academic year and is expected to be more heavily subscribed to now that you will have universal access to secondary education. In the tertiary education sector, Mr. Speaker, the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College continued to be our flagship in the 2005 to 2006 financial year. The college received its annual contribution of $14 million from the government of St. Lucia and raised additional revenue through tuition fees paid by students. The college continued to grow and develop in the last year, and although continuing to do us proud in terms of the quality of its output, yet giving rise to various questions as to its capacity to continue to serve as the sole major provider of tertiary education in St. Lucia, particularly after the advent of universal secondary education in September this year. I will, in the course of my contribution to this debate, Mr. Speaker, speak a little about the way forward for tertiary education in St. Lucia. In terms of youth and sports, there were several activities undertaken and achievements recorded in the 2005 to 2006 financial year. These included a National Students Conference held during the year, which led to the re-establishment in St. Lucia of a National Students Council. It included as well some of the regular annual activities like the school's debating competition, the National Youth Parliament, the hosting of regional and community-based youth workshops, summer camps, community consultations, and the school's sporting program, culminating at the end of March with the Inter-Secondary School Track and Field Championship at the National Stadium in Beaufort. In terms of civil works in the sports sector, a playing field was established at Bos Lagwas in the constituency of Labrie. Playing fields were upgraded in Oche, also in the constituency of Labrie, in Barakas, in the constituency of Choiseul, in Pierrot, in the constituency of Beaufort North, in Larisous and at the Philip Marcel Ground in Beaufort South, in Monrepeau in the constituency of Miku North, in Larisous in Denry North, in Vala in the constituency of Anthony Canaries, in Bexar and Belair in the constituency of Catherine Southeast, at Mindu Philip Park and Marshall Ground in the constituency of Catherine East, at the Catherine's Comprehensive secondary school playing field in Castries North, at the Balata playing field in the constituency of Abono, and at the Grosvenor playing field in my home constituency. Balata in the constituency of Abono. Still under civil works in sports, Mr. Speaker, a multi-purpose court is under construction in the Moshi community in Grosley, while existing courts were upgraded at Leclerc in Castries North, at BG Multipurpose Complex in Castries Central, and Antrepo in Castries East, after being nearly terrorized by the Honourable Minister for Tourism about his Antrepo court, at George Charles Secondary School in Castries South, at Bana, Jacmel, and Surrey in the constituency of Surrey Canaries, at Soufre, at Labri, at Diritu in Miku South, and at the Miku Village in the constituency of Miku North. Of course, Mr. Speaker, there is in progress now the upgrade of the Bosiju Cricket Ground and the Grosley Playing Field in preparation for Cricket World Cup 2007. Already, significant work has been done in the upgrading of the Bosiju Cricket Ground, rendering its great cricket ground even greater, and of course making it the first lighted cricket ground in the Caribbean, enabling it to host last month the first live cricket match at a regional cricket ground, and enabling it to host on May 10th, that is in the next 12 days, the first ever day-night one-day international in the Caribbean. Significant work has also been done, Mr. Speaker, on the Grosley playing field, which will be used as a training ground for the four teams which will be based at Bosiju for the Cricket World Cup, namely England, New Zealand, Kenya, and Canada. The Grosley playing field is being upgraded into a first-class ground with the same slope and grass as exists at the Bosiju Cricket Ground. An irrigation system is being installed on the field to ensure the integrity of the surface in the dry season. In addition, practice nets and surfaces will be established on the eastern side of the playing field. After much agitation from the community, it has been decided that the field will be fenced with a chain link fence to protect the rehabilitated and upgraded playing field. Consideration is being given to establishing a players pavilion to the north of the playing field on the land acquired by government from Mr. Turville. At a minimum though, the present pavilion will be upgraded in terms of washrooms, bathrooms, and other such facilities. The field, Mr. Speaker, will be fully equipped with all of the necessary field maintenance equipment. Turning now, Mr. Speaker, to the work to be undertaken in 2006-2007 financial year, I start again with the primary education sector. In this sector, Mr. Speaker, we expect in the course of the 2006-2007 financial year to do the following. One, to construct a major extension to the Fawasaw Primary School in Babylon. A new building will be constructed on the school compound, comprising classrooms, a staff room, a principal's office, and a sick bay, at a cost of approximately $800,000 financed through the Basic Needs Trust Fund. Two, to construct a building at the Oscar Primary School in Castries South East to replace the one which was demolished last year after it had been deemed unsafe. Three, to undertake major repair and renovation works on the Abbey Maria Girls Infant School in Castries Central. Four, to undertake major rehabilitation and repairs on the RC Boys Infant and Primary Schools in Castries Central. That should have been three. pre-K classes in some primary schools, particularly in areas underserved by preschool, so that children could enter the public school system in the year of their fourth birthday instead of having to wait till the year of their fifth birthday. However, the pre-K classes will be optional, and parents would be free. In fact, they may very well be encouraged, where they can afford it, to send their children to private preschools until the year of their fifth birthday, leaving the pre-K classes only for those children who would not otherwise have gone to preschool. The introduction of pre-K classes at primary schools, Mr. Speaker, will however be a policy determination to be made by government at a later date when additional resources can be committed towards this. In the secondary education sector, Mr. Speaker, we expect in the course of 2006-2007 to do the following. One, complete the Broseley Secondary School by December of this year, although the school will be operationalized at a suitable temporary location as of the start of this school year in September. Two, complete work on the secondary school at Marigot by December of this year. But, as in the case of the Broseley Secondary, operationalize the school at the start of the school year in September at a suitable temporary location. Three, complete work on the Brierbeer Secondary School as of September this year and operationalize the new secondary school in September. Four, transform the Beaufort Technical Institute from a senior primary school into a three-stream, five-form secondary school while maintaining the technical vocational nature of the program at the school. Five, complete the expansion and rehabilitation work on the Choiseul and Colonel Mason Memorial Secondary Schools within the next week or two while completing the refurbishment work on the Vidbujaye Secondary School within the next month or two. Six, commence and complete work on the St. Mary's College extension at a cost of approximately $2 million, which will result in the St. Mary's College being expanded from its present enrollment of 580 students to a new capacity of 750 students. Seven, expand the Cicero Secondary School at a cost of some $630,000 in order to rectify some space anomalies confronting the school since it reached its full capacity in September of last year. The space anomalies, Mr. Speaker, arose from the fact that the IT infrastructure contained in the Cicero Secondary School rendered the classrooms less able to accommodate the 35 students who would normally occupy a class. We are therefore increasing the school's capacity to enable it to accommodate its full cohort of 525 students and to enable it to continue with this IT platform. Eight, undertake repair and rehabilitation work at the current secondary school in Groseley, which will result in the establishment of a learning resource center, a new canteen, the refurbishment of the existing buildings on the school compound, including all existing washrooms, and the undertaking of drainage works, pest control works, painting, and a general facelift to the tune of an amount of nearly $600,000. Also to be undertaken in the secondary school sector in the 2006 to 2007 financial year is the establishment of a playing field on the grounds of the George Charles Secondary School in Caffrey South, and the establishment of a multipurpose court on the grounds of the Beaufort Comprehensive School Campus B in Beaufort South. Of course, Mr. Speaker, honorable members might now know that come September of this year, St. Lucia will achieve the long-desired goal of universal secondary education. And our country, Mr. Speaker, will be transformed from one in which, in 1996, 40% of the children taking the common entrance exam were assigned places at secondary schools in St. Lucia, with the other 60% being doomed never to enter a secondary school. To one, Mr. Speaker, where in 2006, every child taking the common entrance exam in St. Lucia will be offered a place in a secondary school in their country. Because this government, Mr. Speaker, coming into office in May of 1997, built a total of 9 secondary schools. One to replace and expand an existing secondary school, and the other 8 completely new. We also expanded 3 other existing secondary schools, so that of the 23 publicly funded secondary schools in St. Lucia, which will be operational as of September this year, 12 of the 23 would have been either built or expanded by the present government.
The honourable member has 15 minutes remaining to make his contribution.
In fact, Mr. Speaker, a more revealing statistic is that 110 years after secondary schooling was introduced in St. Lucia with the establishment of the St. Mary's College, it took this government just 9 years to increase our secondary school capacity by 50%, from 11,000 students in May of 1997 to 16,500 by the end of this year. Now, Mr. Speaker, I heard the Honourable Member for Meikle South ask some questions last evening about our readiness for universal secondary education. Yes, the Honourable Member for Meikle South, now I shall refer to him. Mr. Speaker, universal secondary education is the provision of a secondary school place for every child completing the relevant stage of primary school. Now tell me, Mr. Speaker, why would any parliamentarian, why would someone seeking ministerial office want to stand in this honorable house and question whether the children of this country deserve the right to a secondary education in 2006, in the age of globalization, in the era of CSM? Are we supposed to condemn the children of the 21st century, the children of the age of globalization, the children of the era of CSME, to only a primary school level education so that they could compete for jobs with other Caribbean and world citizens on the basis of their primary school leaving certificate? No, Mr. Speaker. It would be nothing short of cruel for us at this stage in our development not to give the children of this country at this time at least a secondary education in order to equip them with the means to survive and compete in the post 2007 Cricket World Cup Caribbean. In terms of some of the other issues raised by the Honourable Member for Meikle South in his contribution to the budget debate last night, I will not dwell on one of the propositions which the Honourable Member raised about if you educate all the children to a secondary school level, you would raise their expectations and how then will you get jobs for them. I personally, I find that proposition too preposterous to merit a response. And so I shall pass on to something that may have more substance. I want to assure the Honourable Member for Meikle South, Mr. Speaker, that the journey towards universal secondary education in St. Lucia is a well thought out and well charted one. It is not a journey that we suddenly embarked upon. It was what we promised in our contract of faith with the people of St. Lucia in 1997. It was what we undertook to do in our education sector development plan 2000 to 2007. From July 1997 to the present time, we have embarked on a program of school building and expansion, which will climax this year when the planned constructions and expansions will have been completed. We have also undertaken training programs for our teachers, such as the Lynchburg College Program, which train our primary school teachers in special needs education at the diploma level, and which train our secondary school teachers in school counseling at the master's degree level. We are also establishing, honorable member for Miku South, a student support services unit to coordinate the provision of a range of support services for students experiencing coping issues within the school system. So we are ready, Mr. Speaker, for universal secondary education. Yes, there will be problems, including problems arising from the academically weaker and unmotivated students attending secondary schools. But these problems exist in every country that has dared to provide a secondary education to all of its people. But the existence of problems and challenges, Mr. Speaker, ought never to be a reason not to do that which is necessary and desirable. I want also to assure the Honourable Member for Miku South, Mr. Speaker, that both academic and technical subjects will continue to be offered at our secondary schools, with some schools like the St. Mary's College being almost exclusively academic, and others, like the Beaufort Technical Institute, or the Beaufort Technical Secondary School, as it will be renamed, being almost exclusively technical, and with the others, Mr. Speaker, all along the continuum of strictly academic to strictly technical. Maybe I should also take the opportunity to deal with some mutterings by the member for Castries Central when he said various things about this is the government, that we are a government which is promoting universal secondary education, but as if we are a government which has been doing things against the education of our people. So he says we have withdrawn subsidies for students studying in Cuba. Mr. Speaker, we are the government which increased the Cuban scholarship program from one or two students a year to 25 to 30 students per year. So that today, Mr. Speaker, St. Lucia is not only self-sufficient in doctors, in locally trained medical doctors, but we're virtually at the point where we now have to consider the possibility of exporting doctors to other Caribbean countries, thanks to our augmentation of the student scholarship, the Cuban scholarship program. But the member for Castries Central would dare to suggest that this government has done things against the interests of the Cuban scholarship program. The member for Central Castries also referred to this government cutting the subsidy for girls' vocational school, and yet we're saying we care about education. The reality, Mr. Speaker, is that we have continue to provide support to the girls' vocational school as long as that school remained a viable entity. When the school reached the stage where it was accommodating a mere 20 to 30 students, at that stage we encouraged a particular corporate entity to work with and support the school. And Mr. Speaker, right now, Cable and Wireless, St. Lucia, is giving the sort of support to the school that is necessary in effect to give it some form of artificial respiration to enable it to survive, which we have indicated to the authorities of the school, Mr. Speaker, it will have great difficulty doing in the era of universal secondary education. The Honourable Member for Central Castries said that we withdrew study leave with pay, obviously either not understanding what the study leave with pay issue is, or just deliberately saying things that that might sound attractive to the uninformed. The fact is that the Speaker and his government have announced an intention to not allow particular public servants to double benefit while others are denied benefit. So that you have a study leave with pay fund. Let's just say you have a study leave with pay fund of $100,000. What was happening in the past is that some public servants would get both scholarship plus study leave with pay and draw down on most of the study leave with pay fund, while others who did not have scholarships were not able to get study leave with pay as a result. And what we have decided, instead of this automatic provision that says if you have a scholarship, you must get study leave with pay, we say instead that if you have a scholarship, any study leave with pay you get will be the difference between the quantum of your scholarship and the amount of the annual salary that you would have got in that period. Very sensible decision so as to enable more people to benefit from training opportunities. Yet the member for Central Cassery, as I said, whether out of ignorance or malice, has sought to present it as suggesting that this government is uncaring about the subject matter of education. He spoke to Mr. Speaker about this government withdrawing the SLDB student loan program. Again, Speaker, it's difficult sometimes when you hear people of his ill speak to determine whether the utterings are born out of ignorance or malice, Mr. Speaker. The fact is, Mr. Speaker, the Bank of St. Lucia has carried the portfolio of the St. Lucia Development Bank, the student loan portfolio. More and more students are accessing these funds. In fact, what the present government has done is to tap new sources of funding available to augment the existing program, CDB-funded program, that provides funds for student loans for solution students. So, Mr. Speaker, quite contrary to what the member for Central Cassery Central suggested, we have in fact made it easier for more and more solutions to undertake studies. He also made the statement, two of the statements that one has heard others from his side say in the past. One is that some of the secondary schools inherited a program of the United Workers Party. Truth be told, Mr. Speaker, when we came into office in May of 1997, there had been a document that had been signed by the previous government of the St. Lucia, which had been signed somewhere in about January, February of 1995, called the Basic Education Reform Program, BERP, under which, Mr. Speaker, there were several undertakings made by the government and several things that would have been done by the Caribbean Development Bank and the World Bank if the government of St. Lucia had moved forward with their undertaking. The fact is we came into office almost midway through the 5-year span of the BERP agreement and not a single thing had been done. Nothing, zero, nothing at all. The government had not fulfill any of its obligations or undertakings under the agreement, neither did the CDB or World Bank do anything towards the fulfilling of their undertakings. What I did, Mr. Speaker, when I came in as minister, is that I requested the appropriate language, a meeting with the relevant officials of the World Bank and the Caribbean Development Bank to discuss what were the problems, how could we rescue an agreement that the World Bank and CDB had already indicated an intention to cancel for non-fulfillment by the government of St. Lucia.
The honourable member has 5 minutes left to make his contribution.
I'd like to invoke section 52, subsection 10, to allow the honourable member an additional hour.
Honourable members, the question is that Standing Order 32, subsection 8, 9 and 10 be suspended to allow the honourable member an additional 1 hour to make his contribution. I now put a question. As many are of that opinion, say aye. As many are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Leave is granted, honourable member.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Honourable Minister for Tourism. Thank you, Honourable Members. Yes, so, Mr. Speaker, As I was saying, what we, having met with the CDB and the World Bank officials, Mr. Speaker, we looked at those things that needed to be done on the government side in order to make it possible to implement the World Bank agreement, the World Bank CDB agreement, because we thought that, yes, it would be good, it would be in the interest of the country to have the schools to be built under the terms of the agreement. So we have to do various things. One is, which is a contradiction in the position of the United Workers Party, including the position of the member for Care Street Central, because one of the specific undertakings which we have to fulfill in order to make it possible to go forward with the agreement is to abolish the transport service. That was one of the specific undertakings the government had to fulfill. Because what the CDB and World Bank was saying, which is perfectly sensible, instead of taking $3 million every year to transport students from one community to take them to a secondary school in another community, what one should do is to build secondary schools in the communities from which they came so that you would not need to subsidize transport to the ridiculous level of taking $3 million every year to pay transport subsidies. So, oh yes, I mean, we know that. What we found, for instance, in the investigation of the thing, we found that there were routes where the cost of the public transport on that route was $2. But the government was paying $13 and $14 to loan passengers per child, to transport a child one way on that same route, Mr. Speaker. So they use this for all different kinds of things, and that's why one of the reasons, I suppose, quite apart from their lacking in logic, why they failed to implement it. We undertook to do so, Mr. Speaker. We did so. Consequently, the transport subsidy, which the Honourable Member for Castle Central also spoke about, had to go. And we did all the other things that were necessary to put us in a position whereby July, August of 1997, Mr. Speaker, about 3 months after taking office, we were able to get contracts signed. We were able to do groundbreaking, so that we were able, under that program, to build the Archer Secondary School in the constituency of Miku South, the Chai Secondary School in the constituency of Chwazel, the Babono Secondary School in the constituency of Babono. And, Mr. Speaker, we were also able to do the new Sufra Comprehensive School, which was a replacement of the existing school compound. So yes, Mr. Speaker, in fact, under a program, an agreement which had been signed by the previous government, we were able to revive, and to breathe life into a virtually dead agreement, meet certain obligations, and rescue it and build three secondary schools under that program. But as I said, Mr. Speaker, the total number of secondary schools built by this government, Mr. Speaker, is, as of September, as of the end of this year, would be a total of 9. Moving, Mr. Speaker, to the tertiary education sector, there will be continued growth and development of the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College in the coming period, Mr. Speaker, with a thrust towards the evolution of the college into an independent university college in due course. There is also a thrust, Mr. Speaker, towards the establishment of a fourth campus of the University of the West Indies in St. Lucia. We are already doing the first year of several UE programs in St. Lucia. We are doing the second year of some, and we are even doing the full degree program in the case, for instance, of the Bachelor of Education program of the University of the West Indies. Discussions are ongoing, Mr. Speaker, with officials of the University of the West Indies with a view to establishing the Mon campus of the University of the West Indies in St. Lucia. This, of course, will have the effect of enabling our students to do full degree programs of the University of the West Indies without ever having to leave our shores. So, Mr. Speaker, the thrust forward for tertiary education in St. Lucia is towards the establishment of a fourth campus of the university in St. Lucia, towards the evolution of the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College into an independent university college, and as well, Mr. Speaker, the return of A-level programs to the secondary schools, particularly to the more established secondary schools in St. Lucia. But these trusts, Mr. Speaker, I must state, these trusts in tertiary education will not necessarily all materialize in the current financial year, although the work towards all of them will commence in the course of this year. In the 2006 to 2007 financial year, Mr. Speaker, the following will be done in the youth and sports sector. Firstly, the work on the upgrade of the Bosse-Issue Cricket Ground being undertaken by Cricket World Cup St. Lucia will continue. Secondly, an indoor sporting facility will be built at Bosse-Issue on the western side of the cricket ground. I repeat, Mr. Speaker, an indoor sporting facility will be built in St. Lucia at Bosse-Issue on the western side of the cricket ground. The facility will be designed to accommodate indoor cricket practice with modern state-of-the-art equipment, but will, when not in use for cricket, be used for basketball, netball, volleyball, table tennis, boxing, and gymnastics. The facility, Mr. Speaker, is expected to seat 500 persons. Construction of St. Lucia's first indoor sporting facility should commence shortly and will cost some $3 million from funding provided to Cricket World Cup St. Lucia Inc. Thirdly, Mr. Speaker, work on the upgrading of the Groselier playing field will continue to completion in the course of this financial year to upgrade it to a first-class ground for use as a training ground for Cricket World Cup 2007. Fourthly, the Bindu Philip Park will be upgraded in the course of this financial year, with a new drainage system put in to end the persistent surface water problems at the Bindu Philip Park. In addition, Mr. Speaker, new practice facilities will be established at Bindu Philip Park, and minor upgrades will be done in the Players Pavilion. The upgrade of the Bindu Philip Park will be undertaken by Cricket World Cup St. Lucia Inc. and will allow the park also to be used as a training ground for teams participating in Cricket World Cup 2007. Fifthly, the Denry Cricket Field will be upgraded with a new fully sloped and grass surface being established there. The Denry, as far as I'm aware, there's only one Denry Cricket Field, which is located in your present constituency. It will involve, Mr. Speaker, a fully sloped and grass surface being established there. The field will be used for the playing of community cricket matches during Cricket World Cup 2007. Sixthly, Mr. Speaker, the Lapak playing field in Chuzelle will be upgraded and expanded and a new surface provided for the field. The Lapak playing field will also be used for the playing of community cricket matches during Cricket World Cup 2007. Seventhly, Mr. Speaker, Cricket World Cup St. Lucia Inc. will be involved in the establishment in the course of this financial year of a cricket development fund, which will be used to provide financial support to youth cricketers to acquire school supplies, to acquire cricket gear, and to enable them to travel overseas to play cricket. Cricket World Cup will also be involved in the establishment of a Bosse-Issue Cricket School, which will operate at the Bosse-Issue Cricket Ground on Saturday mornings for junior cricketers and Saturday afternoons for senior cricketers. It is hoped, Mr. Speaker, that the Bosse-Issue Cricket School will eventually metamorphose into a national cricket academy. Eighthly, Mr. Speaker, the Bosha playing field in the Miku South constituency will be developed and upgraded in the course of this financial year, with the surface of this field being upgraded and with a changing room with appropriate facilities being established on the playing field. The development and upgrading of the Bosha playing field will be undertaken by the St. Lucia National Cricket Association with funds provided by the Alan Sanford Foundation. I was happy to have received a check for US$100,000 from the representative of Mr. Sanford, which check I dutifully passed on to the National Cricket Association. I was also happy, Honourable Member for Miku South, to have approved the selection by the National Cricket Association of the Bosha playing field as the ground to be upgraded with the funds provided by the Sanford Foundation. nicely, Mr. Speaker, yes, if we were like other people, we would have said, no, that can't go there, let's try somewhere else. But we're bigger than that, Mr. Speaker. We will, Mr. Speaker, be continuing our program of establishing and upgrading playing fields around St. Lucia, so that the playing field will be established on the grounds of the George Charles Secondary School. The work on the establishment of the Bus Aguas playing field in Denry will continue, and we will, Mr. Speaker, be examining what the possibilities are for further establishment and upgrade and repair of existing playing fields from the funds provided in the budget for this purpose. Tenthly, Mr. Speaker, we will be continuing our program of establishing and upgrading multipurpose courts around St. Lucia. A multipurpose court will be built at the Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School grounds. And yes, Honourable Member for Catherine East, a multipurpose court will be built at Parvey in the constituency of Catherine East and Mr. Yes. Work will of course be continuing, Mr. Speaker, on the Moshi multipurpose court while the upgrading is started in the last 9 days. So what is it? Just leave it like that. All I'm saying is we will continue the work to its completion. Well, Mr. Speaker, we will identify with the funds available other locations where courts may be established, upgraded, or repaired. Determinations to be made in due course, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there are two other subjects which I wish to deal with before I close off on this subject. Yes, before I go home. One is the Supret grandstand, which the Honourable Member for Supret spoke about today, and for which the sum of $1.5 million has been allocated in this budget. All I can say to the Honourable Member for Supret, Mr. Speaker, is that I have not personally been involved in this project before, which is being handled largely by other government agencies, but that I am assured that all arrangements have now been put in place for the construction of the Supre grandstand in the course of this financial year. The other project, Mr. Speaker, of which I wish to speak is the VG Playing Field Rehabilitation Project. A project, Mr. Speaker, which has caused me some anguish and which I'm sure might have caused some people to question my credibility on this particular issue. Having spoken more than once over a period of maybe 3 years on that issue, having promised initially that a consortium of local companies would have undertaken the VG Playing Field Rehabilitation Project, having later indicated that the consortium has pulled out of the project and that other funders were being sought, having then indicated that the Venezuelan government, after approaches made by me to the Venezuelan Embassy in St. Lucia, had agreed to fund the project, having, I think, gone as far as giving dates, commencement dates, an exact scope of work that would be involved, how many engineers and workers would come from Venezuela by which time. Mr. Speaker, I plead guilty to the charge of having said all of these things. My only words in mitigation, Mr. Speaker, is that I did so after being so assured by the relevant parties. No, I shall not accuse the ambassador of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela of doing that. All I can say is that at this stage, Mr. Speaker, the ambassador has indicated that the project is going to happen. It has been approved by the Ministry of External Affairs of Venezuela. They have sent down a team to St. Lucia. A team was sent down to St. Lucia on February 17, 2006. A team from the Venezuelan Army. They looked at the project. They have costed it. They prepared the appropriate budget, which was then forwarded to the Office of the President for approval, and it is waiting the final endorsement in order that a team of, I believe it is 20, a team of 20 persons, yes, a team of, it will be carried out by a group of approximately 20 soldiers from the Venezuelan Army who will arrive in St. Lucia and will undertake the project within a period of 45 days. Among the things the Venezuelan embassy asked us to do is to provide accommodation for those persons, for the 20 soldiers. What we have arranged with the speaker is that the what is referred to as the booty pavilion at the VG playing field, which contain facilities which can be configured as sleeping accommodation, which contain bathroom and toilet facilities, that we would use that facility for the 45-day period to accommodate the 20 soldiers from the Venezuelan army when they are undertaking that project. All we are waiting for now, Mr. Speaker, is to just let the soldiers come. First time I will welcome an invasion by a foreign army into militia, Mr. Speaker, is now. Mr. Speaker, there is still much more that I can say about the work of my ministry, Mr. Speaker, but the hour is advanced, and I do want to spend some time on work in my constituency, which is, of course, responsible for my presence in this Honourable House, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in terms of work done in the constituency of Rosalie in the course of the last financial year, the following, Mr. Speaker, needs to be highlighted. Well, Mr. Speaker, the Kaimachi Road in Lafayette, Rosalie, has been resurfaced with Baba Green that looks almost as nice as the one in Chatea in Babado. The Wilmington to Diramo Road, Mr. Speaker, was surfaced in the course of the last financial year. You would recall, Mr. Speaker, that we had done the Lafayette to Wilmington Road several years ago, and we had promised the phase two to take it up from where we have stopped in just below Bazin or Wilmington to take it up through Tido Fairchute, Diramo. That took a little long in coming, but finally, about $700,000 and a few frustrations later, we have been able to achieve that. And we now have a complete roadway from the Lafayette entrance to Iwemita through to the Diramo entrance on the other side, Mr. Speaker. We have resurfaced the Windward Islands Gases Road in Corinth. We have done potholing and some elements of resurface of the Frontier Main Road. We have completely resurfaced the East Winds Road in Maris Hill, again with a Barber Green surface approximating that in Chaffee. We have also done likewise, Mr. Speaker, with the Windjammer Road in Badawash, with a Chaffee surface. Also, Mr. Speaker, getting a Chaffee surface is the Casabar Main Road, Mr. Speaker. We do, of course, have our new Money Highway from the Grauivere Bridge through to going up to Monier through to Barbado, yes. Mr. Speaker. Yes. Of course, the construction of the new $6 million road in Bella Rosa is nearing completion, Mr. Speaker. Fine new highway to take you from the Bella Rosa through to the cricket ground at Bose Issue. Work has started, Mr. Speaker, on the resurface of the Bose Issue Road, where drainage is being done right now and work has commenced on the Bose Issue Road surfacing, Mr. Speaker. We have seen the regrading and the resurfacing or surface dressing it is of the Marshy to Jacawi Road. There's been a single surface dress with a second surface dress from it because it's supposed to be a double surface dress finish. Yes. So too, Mr. Speaker, we have had a surface dressing of the Jacawi to Labon Road to take you up to the Labon community. Again, with a single surface dressing done, but a double surface dressing from it. We have seen, Mr. Speaker, the regrading and regraveling of the Labon Road through to the Dauphin Beach, Mr. Speaker. It was a pleasure once again to be able to drive in comfort from the Labuan community right through to the Dauphin Beach. I don't know if I ever had the opportunity to drive that road before. I suspect the times when I've gone to the Dauphin Beach before, one had to park some distance away and walk. Now, Mr. Speaker, I have been able to drive right through, and in fact, that will be celebrated by a group in Dirabo on Monday, Labour Day, Mr. Speaker, where they will be having a beach picnic at the Dauphin Beach, Mr. Speaker, now that vehicles can drive right through to the Dauphin Beach. Being of the first day. Capital of St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we've also been promised the surface dressing of the Jakawi to Dirabo Road. That is one of the undertakings that have been made, not yet fulfilled. We will talk about it, the Minister says. Mr. Speaker, we thanks to the intervention of the Honourable Prime Minister, for which I am very grateful, Mr. Speaker. The sum of money, a small amount of between $4 and $5 million, was provided, Mr. Speaker, and a contract was awarded with those funds, Mr. Speaker, which has resulted, Mr. Speaker, in work now having started on the Antikaraba on the Montefo Road, Mr. Speaker, on the Piat Road. We will be doing both Montefo Roads, Mr. Speaker, what one might refer to as the old Montefo Road and the Inglewood Road that takes you to the Unity Housing area of Montefo. The contract, Mr. Speaker, also includes the work on the more blazing supplies road in Badawash. No, not yet. More blazing supplies road in Badawash, Mr. Speaker. It also includes work on the Bonair roads in Marisdale, both Bonair roads, Mr. Speaker. It also includes, very, very happily, I suspect that one is the one, if I have to choose one, that certainly gives me the most pleasure. It would be the establishment of the new road in O'Shea Lands, Mr. Speaker. That is an area where a lot of people live who look just like us.
Bangladesh?
No, not Bangladesh. Just a basic establishment of a road. A lot of people who look just like us on this side, Mr. Speaker, but who, yes, they have run like us, Mr. Speaker, but they have suffered the indignity for years of never having an opportunity to have a vehicle enter their homes or to carry materials to fix their houses. Nothing, Mr. Speaker. They have to head everything up to the hill, to the top of the hill there, Mr. Speaker. We have brought Ministry of Communications and was there, BNTF, PRF, every F they have. And I've gotten a few F myself for nothing having happened there, Mr. Speaker. Finally, the road is being constructed there, Mr. Speaker, under the contract, thanks to the special provision made by the Honourable Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker. We will also be undertaking under that same program, Mr. Speaker, the surfacing of the Edgewater Road in Massad, Mr. Speaker. That is a road that, ever since the Edgewater housing area was constructed several years ago by the UDC, has just been totally neglected. What we are going to be doing is the ring road around Edgewater. We will not be going into the different lanes inside, but the entire ring road around Edgewater, Mr. Speaker, will be surfaced, right? We will also be redoing the Massad Road, Mr. Speaker, to the north of Dauphin Street in Rosalie. These roads, we did them, all the roads inside Massad, Mr. Speaker, we did that about maybe 5-6 years ago. Unfortunately, they deteriorated and they now remind me of what I used to know when I campered first in that constituency in 1996-97, Mr. Speaker. But thankfully, they will be redone. They will be redone under the same contract issue shortly, Mr. Speaker. We will also be doing the VCC road. That is a road that we also did about 5-6 years ago, and a road that has brought me great pride and joy when it was done. And thanks to a somebody who established a quarry up in Bessie and brought all his heavy equipment and much of the figures. We are now going to rebuild that road, Mr. Speaker, if I have to, whatever it takes to avoid the road being destroyed again, Mr. Speaker, I will certainly endeavor to do. I saw that question, the Window Dance Garden Road, which we did in the course of this financial year, Mr. Speaker. These, I believe, are the roads that will be done under the special provisions which have been made, Mr. Speaker, for in a constituency where the reality is, for all of the impressions of Rosalie being well off and well positioned, the fact is, Mr. Speaker, the records will show, all of the records will show, that Rosalie had, certainly up until 1997, the worst community roads anywhere in St. Lucia. People have this image and impression of Rosalie, which, as I said, is founded on the drive from the shop bridge through to Cap Estate, where you see the nice road and the bright lights and so on. The fact is, in all of the communities in Rosalie, all of them, prior to May 1997, what you found was totally defective roads or non-existent roads, darkness, several areas without without domestic electricity, hardly any street lights. That was the reality of Rosalie prior to May 1997. Thankfully, Mr. Speaker, with the support of the various agencies of this government, we have gone a long way towards taking the communities of Rosalie out of the depressive situation that they were in prior to May of 1997, Mr. Speaker. And what we have sought to do, what the Prime Minister has consented to do, Mr. Speaker, with the provision specially made, is to ensure that some of the things which had already been achieved were restored because they have been allowed over the years to deteriorate. BCP Road, Massad Road, and some of the other roads, Mr. Speaker, Tiak, which we have done before, Montefa, which we have done before, Asukanal, which we have started but never completed, Mr. Speaker. Basically, what we're doing now is bringing them to the sort of condition that would justify, Mr. Speaker, even though I say to myself, the exertions that have been made over the last 9 years by the person given the honour by that constituency to represent it during the space of that 9 years, Mr. Speaker. Roads aside, Mr. Speaker, there are a few other things which we have been able to do in the constituency in the course of the last financial year. We've already spoken about the work being done on the Rosalie playing field. We've already spoken about the work being done on the Moshi multipurpose court. We are establishing a turf court in the Raidwee community. We've already spoken about the work ongoing at the Bosejou Cricket Ground. We did rehabilitate the current playing field in the course of the last financial year, which was necessary. In fact, it was done, let me say, by World Cup St. Lucia because of the fact that the work being done on the Rosalie playing field disabled it. And that is normally the home of Rosalie Cricket between January and June. So we had to upgrade and rehabilitate the current playing field in order to make it possible for Rosalie Cricket competitions to take place. And, Mr. Speaker, of course, we have the ongoing work on the Rosalie Secondary School. We have as well a contract was issued during the course of last month for the establishment of a Rosalie Library. Speaker, that building, which the Honourable Member for Denry, North, South, East and West, had sought to take for other purposes, which we were able to take back from him, Mr. Speaker. The old health center building in Rosalie, a contract has been awarded in the amount of, I don't remember the figure now, but a contract has been awarded to a local Rosalie contractor for the establishment of a Rosalie library there, which should be completed in time for the opening of school in September, Mr. Speaker. As indicated earlier, we are rehabilitating the current school. Some $500,000 to $600,000 is being expended towards that purpose. Other projects, Mr. Speaker, we, as the Minister for Health indicated, we have rehabilitated the Gloria Health Centre, which looks a completely new structure from what it was. We will be doing some work on the Moshi Health Centre in the course of the current financial year, Mr. Speaker. We did operationalize the public convenience at Bay Street, which was constructed in the course of last year. And we will, Mr. Speaker, have the assurances, although I will confess not for the first time, but I do have the assurance from the officials of the Ministry of Physical Development that the work on the paving of the Bay Street Promenade will be done. The information from the Chief Architect and the Ministry is that Wasco has to do certain works there. These works will start on the 22nd of May and will be completed by the 30th of June. Then the work on the establishment of the promenade will commence on the 3rd of July to be completed by the 29th of September this year. Mr. Speaker, sorry? No, that's not from Mr. Gibbs. I'm not sure Mr. Gibbs is involved with that project any longer. Mr. Speaker, this is a project I really have to see to its completion, Mr. Speaker, before the end of my term. Mr. Speaker, it's a project that I have been intimately involved in. I have made definitive undertakings in relation to, I think I'm on my Minister of Physical Development in relation to this project. It was in the hands of former Minister, the Honorable Walter Fosua, in the hands of former Minister, the Honorable Ignatius Jha, and now with Minister Ferguson John, Speaker. I do intend to see that project through its completion with the Bay Street Promenade before, Mr. Speaker, my term of office comes to an end, Speaker. These are the principal projects that will be undertaken or have been undertaken in the course of this financial year and will be undertaken in the course of the next financial year, Mr. Speaker. What I have sought to do during the course of those 9 years of my representation of the constituency, Mr. Speaker, is to ensure that certain essentials were taken care of. We are able to do a number of things in the health sector, from the completion and operationalization of the Grosley Polyclinic, the rehabilitation of the Florida Health Center. We've done some repair work on the Marshy Health Center with more done in the second quarter of this year. The education sector, Mr. Speaker, quite a lot has happened in Grosley during the course of those 9 years, from the construction of the Dean Fred Luizzi Primary School in Foster Way in Grosley, to the expansion of the Florida Secondary School, expansion of the Marshy Combined School, the erection there of a school feeding facility, the establishment of a computer lab, a school feeding facility, and other services at the Grosley Primary and Infant School, construction of the new secondary school at Marsan, the major work done some years ago on the upgrade of the drainage system at the current secondary school, and now, Mr. Speaker, work towards its full rehabilitation. In the area of sports, Mr. Speaker, we have, of course, seen to the establishment of our flagship, the Bosaju Cricket Ground. We've seen to the expansion and upgrade of the Marshy playing field, of the current playing field, of the Brother playing field. We've seen, Mr. Speaker, to the establishment of a multi-purpose court and a small playing field in the Deramo community, the establishment of a multi-purpose court at Badawaj, the establishment of a court at the Brother Primary School, the establishment of a basketball court at Bonter, the lighting and equipping of the Grosley multi-purpose court at Grosley, the establishment, Mr. Speaker, ongoing of a turf court at Radley, the establishment, Mr. Speaker, to start shortly of the indoor sporting facility at Bosaju. And, Mr. Speaker, we've given the support and assistance that have helped to make it possible for the private sector to undertake projects like the establishment of the 18-hole golf course at Cap Estate and the aquatic center at Rodney Bay. Mr. Speaker, we've certainly seen a number of roads gotten attention in that period. We've seen a number of bridges established, repaired, rehabilitated. We've seen continuous work towards the silting of rivers. One of the projects I forgot to mention in the course of my enumeration of things done in the last financial year, Mr. Speaker, was the sidewalk done in the Massad Bosaju area and the establishment of the traffic calming devices and the pedestrian crossing and other traffic signs there to eliminate a danger which had not just existed there, but which had materialized when we had multiple tests of children and that post issue massacre gap, Mr. Speaker. We've also seen to the establishment of, in the last financial year as well, Mr. Speaker, sidewalk from the drawing there, from the Marital Drive there intersection through to the current secondary school. We've also seen, Mr. Speaker, to the establishment of other sidewalks in the Broad Lake constituency over the 9-year period, Mr. Speaker, sidewalks that hunt along Dover Street of my Moshi community. We've also seen to speed bumps, Mr. Speaker, in a number of areas in the Broad Lake area, in the Broad Lake constituency, Mr. Speaker. Community infrastructure has been considerably improved. Comfort station on Bay Street, beach protection work at Bay Street, animal feed facility at both SU. There are no one's going to put these things. Disaster warehouse, Mr. Speaker, at Massag. New housing developments within the constituency, not all as welcome though, Mr. Speaker. New fire station, Mr. Speaker, at Massag. Extension of police station at Groveley, Mr. Speaker, rural electrification and street lighting programs. We've seen to the reservation of recreational areas along the Pigeon Point Causeway, Mr. Speaker, on both sides of the causeway, about a 4 to 5 acre site on the northern side of the causeway and about a 3 acre site on the southern side of the causeway, one of which we're looking towards the development of in the course of the current financial year. Mr. Speaker, we've also seen to the, as I indicated earlier, the establishment of grade improvement of a number of roads in the Groves Lake constituency in the course of these years, Mr. Speaker. So that I do feel, Mr. Speaker, that we have achieved quite a bit during the course of those 9 years, Mr. Speaker. And I would want at this juncture, Mr. Speaker, to conclude my presentation, being very aware of the advanced state of the night, Mr. Speaker, and the fact that the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance must yet close the debate tonight. But before I close, Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the staff of the Ministry of Education, Human Resource Development, Youth and Sports, Mr. Speaker, for the 9 years of support which they have given to me since May of 1997. That has enabled me, Mr. Speaker, to achieve so much together with them in the various sectors that our ministry has been responsible for managing, Mr. Speaker. I would also want to thank the people of Rosalie who have given me the honor of serving them since 1997. I trust, Mr. Speaker, that I have lived up both to their expectations of me and to my undertakings to them in the decade of our association. Of course, Mr. Speaker, I must thank as well the Honourable Prime Minister, my ministerial and parliamentary colleagues who helped make it possible for me to serve my constituency and my country in that period, Mr. Speaker. But, Mr. Speaker, let me say that this is not goodbye. It is just thanks. If I would be forgiven for having enumerated all of the roads that would be done and forgetting, Mr. Speaker, to mention my own neighborhood, Mr. Speaker, the Bonterre Road, which, apart from the main Bonterre Road, has never received attention during the 9 years of my tenure as Minister, Mr. Speaker, as Parliamentary Representative. We are going to undertake, in the course of the contract presently awarded, Mr. Speaker, the surfacing of most of the roads in Bonterre, roads with fancy names like Coppet Road, Marina View, County Fair Road, Gardenia Drive, Cedar Drive, Cinnamon Avenue, Passion Drive, Vanilla Grove, Amazona Road, and Habitat Drive, Mr. Speaker, which is a drive that I know some people who live there, Mr. Speaker, including my wife and children. These roads, Mr. Speaker, all part of the contract now awarded Mr. Speaker and should be undertaken during the course of the next 2 weeks and months. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.